Welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. I am Nicole Sachs. I am here every week hanging out with you, doing my damnedest to talk about mind-body medicine. Here we are. Hi, guys. So today we're going to talk about something that is legit one of my favorite topics on the planet, and mostly because I used to hate it, and I love transformation. I love when I used to hate something and now I am awakened to what it really means. I love to call out my own skepticism. I love to witness my own growth. I love that shit. So inner child work, it's a real triggery phrase for people and used to be for me. I used to think it was really, really dumb, light, new agey. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me I have to look within at my little child inside. I really seriously used to hear that phrase and just think it was straight up nothing for me. And I cannot tell you how wrong I was. Always my favorite to understand that I've been wrong. And I cannot tell you how humbled I am to understand how wrong I was. And so it is real. It is a real crusade for me to explain inner child work and carry the message so you know what it is. And I almost wish I had something else I could call it, but I also don't think that helps because A, it's a really on-point phrase, and B, if we change the name of it, it will be convoluted and people won't know exactly what we're talking about, which is I want you to take in all the perceived cheesiness and new aginess of your impressions of it, because I think it's all important, because truthfully, a lot of this healing work we do is requires us to quiet that voice of skepticism and of ridicule, and it all matters. So a long way of saying today we're going to talk about inner child work and my specific unique way of teaching people to get into it with Journal Speak, and then of course sharing with you that I'm going to go live about this stuff because I feel like it's so important. So let me start there. So I receive hundreds of DMs and emails and such from you, thousands perhaps a week. And I really do my best to boil down what it is that you're needing because that's my role here. My role is to bring what you need. Ultimately, if you don't know so much about me, my goal is to bring the message of mind-body medicine, of brain science as a way of transforming your physical body and your physical experience of being alive to every person on the planet. I aim for nothing less because I have to tell you that the transformations I see in people when they are willing to quiet their old ideas and to open their minds to something potentially new is stunning, and I will not rest. If you know anything about me, I myself am a walking around success story slash miracle slash there's my computer making noise. So anyway, I aim for nothing less than global domination when it comes to at least offering this information. I will put it down. Each person has the chance to pick it up. It is not for everyone based on the true readiness that they're experiencing. And sometimes they come to that true readiness and let me know. So it's great. So anyway, I'm always keeping my eye on what you need. And I think what I hear more than anything these days is people desperate to understand why they are so triggered by life, why they have so much trouble in relationships, why they have so much angst in resolving situations either within themselves or with complicated work relationships, parenting relationships, friendships, partnerships, love, whatever. And it all comes down to the inner child operating within and literally a 5 or 7 year old leading us around by the neck. And I have experienced this so powerfully in my own life and then in teaching it to others over the years. So this is my latest push, is I'm going to go with live virtual retreats on inner child work so we can really get down to it. So I'm going to talk about the work today. But just so you know, so you can put it in your calendar, The first of these inner child deep dive intensive workshops is going to be on November 5th, 2022 at 12 noon Eastern time. The link to sign up will be on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, on both the retreats tab and the resources tab. It will also be linked live to my Instagram bio at Nicole Sachs LCSW on Instagram and on my online community Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs on Facebook, which is a private community, the most welcoming place on the internet if you want to be in conversation with people healing the way you are healing through my work. So, if you want to take that 3-hour workshop with us, it is going to be live. I will answer your personal questions and I will move you through this work in community with me. And I'm really looking forward to it because I've been wanting to get back to these live virtual retreats. And this is a perfect way in. So mark your calendars if you want to be included in that. In terms of what I want to say about this inner child work in terms of our podcast today, is I'm going to start at the beginning, which is at my skepticism. When I was growing up, I was really taught to buck up, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You're fine. Let's go. We don't have much time to cry about this. And I'm not saying that that was a terrible way to be raised. I'm not actually here to pass judgment on the way any of us were raised. I'm just saying that that's the way I was raised. There was not a lot of invitation or openness to fully and wholesomely feel my feelings because life was just moving too fast. And there were decisions that my parents made that we couldn't necessarily have made differently based on real lifey life. And so I was not taught to connect with my moment-to-moment child experience, which is honestly the way most of us were raised. And if you're anywhere around my age, I'm 50 right now, it was the child of the 70s and 80s, which means that, you know, this was not a time of great child-centered, let's feel your feelings. It was, you know, you have a scraped knee, you know, brush it off and let's go. And even if you are younger and you were raised with more of a child-focused upbringing, oftentimes parents just don't have the capacity to honor those little parts of ourselves. And really, truly, they don't have to. I'm raising children right now as child-centered as I can bring myself to be. And I can't always do that for them because truthfully, this work is ours. This work of going back and healing the inner children within us in order to have better, more connected lives, more successful experiences, more attached relationships today is our work. And one of the reasons I know that is because when I'm doing the work for myself, I see how impactful it is and how it couldn't have been done for me. How this is work where you are acknowledging a child inside of yourself, but you are really acknowledging it from the viewpoint of a grown adult that you can't necessarily even have that perspective when you are an actual child. So this is not a criticism of parents of the 70s and 80s, nor is it a self-pitying wallow for any of us who find ourselves needing to do this work. It's actually a privilege to do this work, and I'm really in gratitude for it most of the time. And we'll talk more about that today. So I begin with my skepticism just to say that I am not a person that naturally flowed into this. I was not raised on a commune with kumbaya. It isn't something that I thought about before I thought about it. But that just really stands to say that it can be anyone who walks into this work. It can be anyone who opens themselves to this work. Similar to the fact that I identified as a completely earthy, atheist, non-spiritual being until I was about at least 35 or 40 doesn't mean that I can't be a spiritual being today. We all have our transformations. Wherever you are on that path, welcome. Today is exactly where you need to be. So I didn't start out as someone who really welcomed this work. As I was a practicing psychotherapist for many years in private practice, I started seeing patterns in people. And one of the patterns I saw is when people were really raw about something, where there was a statement made by a loved one or a situation encountered or a visit back to the parental home, anything that was a real trigger to a nerve. The reports I was getting over and over again were along the lines of, I don't like the way I reacted. I don't like the way this relationship is going. And honestly, I'm so frustrated to say this. I cannot help my reaction to this. I say I'm not going to do it. I pledge I'm not going to do it. I tell my friends I'm not going to do it. And the next time this happens, either this comment or this situation or this person or this whatever, I find myself in the same place and I'm frustrated with myself. This is something I heard across situations over and over again from people old and young, all different walks of life, all different genders, what have you. And it really got me thinking, why is it that we lose control of our best thinking? We're grown-ups here, right? We're adults. We've done the work. We've been to therapy. We've read the books. Maybe we've even gotten ourselves out of chronic pain if you're on the path that I am. Why can't I stop being XYZ when I want to? And that's when I started really studying inner child work across modalities. There's no one theorist or teacher that has informed me. This is really a mixture, a textured experience of so many things that I've experienced within other people in my own life that has gotten me to certain practices that are so powerful and transformative. And that's what I teach, my own brand of inner child work, which incorporates journal speak. Because as you know, the whole point of this work that I teach is to allow, name, stay, and release the answer. We want to live better lives. How do we do that? We want to release our old patterns. We want to release our pain. We want to release our inability to change in the moment. How do we do that? Journal speak is a major tool. So I incorporate that in my inner child work. So that's how it began. It began as an inquiry. How can I help people gain more empowerment, more control over the only thing we have control over, which is our own actions? I mean, how frustrating it can be. And I'm sure you've been there, where you literally have no control over your own actions. So that's where I come to when it comes to inner child work, which is until we open the lens a little wider and take a look at our unfelt childhood experiences, we are literally being led around by a five-year-old who is what a five-year-old is, which is opinionated without gray. So five-year-old children are black or white. You are a good guy or you are a bad guy, right? So that doesn't leave much room for pause. If there's a bad guy in your midst, you are reacting with fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn. That is what's happening. If there's a good guy in your midst, you're trusting that guy, regardless of the red flags that could be leading you down the wrong path. We don't want a five-year-old taking us around by the neck. And so many of us, and me included, guys, big time, have been led around for many years by this five-year-old and not known it and been bereft over and over of the fact that, you know, why can't I feel more in charge of myself? So a little bit of what I'm going to be teaching in these live retreats and a little bit of what you'll learn if you study any of my inner child work or come to any of my stuff that I do, you know, around the world is it's not just about speaking to the inner child. So often people think that inner child work is about affirmations or about making the child feel safe or about surrounding her with love. And of course, that is integral. We can't deny or shame or loathe parts of ourselves and expect to be integrated. But the most important thing, the doorway through which we walk with inner child work is instead of telling the inner child anything, it's we have to listen. There are little beings in us walking around, grown people, little beings that are 3 and 6 and 12 and 18 and 27. You know, it's inner child does not end when you turn 18. Inner child is about unfelt places in ourselves. There have been times where I had to listen to my inner child when she was 32 about being a young mother and really need to listen to her because she was being led around by a 13-year-old who was telling her how motherhood, if done properly, quote unquote, was going to save her from the pain of her own childhood. Well, she needed some attention too, that 32-year-old inner child, for me, you know, maybe at 42. So there's no hard and fast rules around this, but there is a method. And the method involves listening. So one of the things I teach people is that at any point in our lives, we are operating in one of three versions of ourselves. We're either being led around by our inner child, we're being guided by our higher self. And when you say your higher self, you can just think of your best thinking, your greatest flow. When you feel like everything's moving from perfection to perfection, you know, when you're just getting it, even the hard things, you see the lesson in them. That's when you're being led by your higher self, your best energy. Your inner child is when you're just feeling overwhelmed and everything is hard and, you know, your tears feel like right behind your eyes all the time and you're quick to anger. That's when you're being led around by your inner child. And then there's a third persona that I think is actually the place where we live more time than not. And that's the persona within each of us when the inner child is doing the higher self impression. So this is when you are dancing as fast as you can. You're doing everything you can to fill the gaps all the time. You're people pleasing. You're trying to be everything to everyone. You're putting yourself last on the list and feeling like you're a better person for it. You're operating under the guise of perfectionism, where if you can just do everything just right, you'll be safe. That's the inner child doing the higher self impression. So that's like being the grownups that we are in our stress. We're constantly trying to control life. Maybe we're snapping at the people in our lives, arguing, getting lost in that kind of fog that can be not knowing what to do, but being a grown-up and acting like we know what to do. And in order to extrapolate which is which, in order to find peace and real growth, we have to learn to pause and do the inner child work. Hear that inner child, that overwhelmed, weepy, angry, terrified being inside of us. So she, and I'm just using female pronouns here just to not be complicated, but it could be he, it could be they. So she can stop so often doing the higher self impression, because the higher self impression is exhausting, creates more conflict, and it leads to dissociation in us. Because what is the goal here, right? What is the goal? Connection, presence, joy, peace. You just want to be here for life. Nobody is guaranteeing a life free of conflict. In fact, we both know no one should ever. So we're not looking to avoid conflict. It's impossible. We're not looking to avoid discomfort. It's impossible. But what we are looking to do is to be present for it. To be present, to be able to be here as much as possible for the joy and the pain of life, which leads to connection, relationships, and possibilities for joy. That's what we're looking for. And in order to do that, we have to minimize the amount of time that the inner child is doing the higher self impression, and we have to allow for openings as much as possible to access that higher self, where we are really, I love the phrase in the flow. We all know what it feels like to be in flow state, even if it's moments, to know like, I just know where I am right now. I know where I'm going and it's okay that it's hard because it's where I need to go. And I feel honest and authentic with myself. My body feels loose and I can be in it. That's what we want. But it's impossible to just wish for it. It doesn't happen with the snap of a finger. When this inner child is not heard, she has no choice but to do the higher self impression as much as possible and lead us around. So that's kind of an overview of what we're doing here. And so I will teach you how to do this through your journal speak practice, through your meditation practice. Please don't be scared of these things. They are the path out of your misery. I often say that my work has a 100% misery back guarantee. You can have the life you are leading this exact moment anytime you want it. You can throw my shit to the side. I get it. By the way, I have thrown this shit to the side over the course of my lifetime. The healing journey is not linear. I have moved around and around and around the mountain. And I know I keep teasing this episode on ascension. It's just taking longer than we thought because there's so much other stuff that has to come before it, which I'll explain to you more at the end of this episode. So the ascension podcast is probably going to be in another couple of weeks. But, you know, once again, to just tease the concept of ascension, ascension means that we are not climbing a mountain of life from the bottom to the top in a line, in a linear fashion. We are traversing the mountain in concentric circles, which start really, really large, which is why the beginning of the healing journey is always the hardest. And then we are traversing the mountain in these circles. And each time we come to another rung, we can look down and see, wow, I see this is a similar struggle, but I'm not exactly where I was before. And so that's what we can do with inner child work. We can access that part of us that has felt tender and triggered and out of our control. And little by slowly, we can change. And journal speak is a huge vehicle for that because journal speak and meditation, as egregious as they may sound to some, are actually tools to change your brain. You know, it's interesting because I remember when I first heard that meditation can literally change your neural pathways, I was skeptical. And then I meditated for the last few years and I watch myself freaking change. There's nothing more exciting than watching something happen in your own body, than being stronger and better and freer at 50 than I was at 30, when you're supposed to be, you know, young and vibrant. I'm so much more young and vibrant at 50 than I was at 30 because, you know, I'm relentless in doing this work and I want the same for you. And when you do this work to unburden yourself from the things that have been leading you around by your neck, you actually, I mean, can't make any promises to make you younger, but real, I feel younger. I feel freer. I feel more limber in my spirit. And it's not just me, you know, I mean, it's many, many thousands of people I hear from every day around the world. It's you guys. It's you. So the first thing I'll say about the inner child work is that we can do this to release ourselves. And the second thing I'll say is there are methods. And I am going to teach them at this retreat. And if you cannot come to this particular retreat, just know it's also going to be recorded. 3 hours that you will be able to keep, whether or not you attend it. So you'll get the lessons, you'll get the exercises, you'll get the guided meditation that you can keep and do alongside at home. So, and the only reason I'm teasing it like this and not including the whole thing in the podcast is it's too much. It's too much. But just so you know, this is powerful work. So another thing I want to say about inner child work is I equate it to a preparatory readiness to make changes that seem sort of subtle but are powerful. So let me explain that a little in my own life. I'm going to give you a little example that happened to me recently. So I was raised, I talk about this all the time, with a very overly critical father. He was a tortured soul. He had his own issues with his sense of success, his sense of self-worth, his sense of self-respect. And one of the ways he handled that was to mold me, berate me, criticize me, change me, or try. And I sort of in equal parts was desperate for his approval and rebellious and said, you know, don't freaking tell me how to be. So it was like that. And I had this fantasy of him that he was in a cage. I know I've spoken about this before in the podcast. He was like in a Hannibal Lecter-esque cage in the middle of a room where it was like a jail, but he would stand inside the cage and hold the bars of the cage, and I would be able to tell him everything I thought about myself, about the world, about him. And he didn't physically abuse me, so I don't know why I needed him in a cage, but this was my childhood fantasy. So the reason I'm bringing it up is I had an experience recently that I know is attached to the inner child work that I have done. So if you think of the inner child work as preparatory, I want you to think of it like you you have a path to walk. Let's just say you're in the middle of the woods and everything's really, really confusing and it's dark and you are not clear of where you need to go. So the inner child work is like a map where I've given you the map and it's a clear map. If you're willing to do the walking, if you're willing to follow the path, it's a clear map out of the woods and you get to follow it. So, you know, you get up every day and you've camped the night before and you do your best to rest. And now you're going to follow the map. You're going to follow the map out of the woods, however many days it takes to get out of this particular woods that you're in. And that's what the inner child work that I teach does. What happens once you get out of the woods, like pretend there's a clearing and there's a village and the village is where you will live in our little fairy tale of the woods. And so now you get to live your life. You've gotten out of the woods. You're no longer lost in the woods. Now you get to live in the village. You know, it's time for life. Okay. So what I'll say about what this experience felt like last week is it felt like I was making my best life in the village, but only because I had gone through the woods and I had allowed the darkness to exist behind me, doing so much inner child work. Understanding that I want to live in the flow, understanding that I want to finally, at long last, take that fantasy of my father in the cage and put it to rest. I don't want to just acknowledge it and say, oh, that was then, and have compassion for myself, even though that stuff is really important. I want to let it go. I want to let it fade. I want to let it roll down the river and feel like it doesn't have a hold on me at all anymore. And I never knew whether that would happen. I never knew how it would happen, which is why I love this podcast and which is why I love this work, because I love to be a living, breathing, walking around example of this for you and using my personal experiences to help you if you see it all, any sort of mirror in me. So this is what happened last week. I was in a situation, a stressful situation, where someone I love, a family member of mine, was very upset about something that had nothing to do with me. This person was upset, enraged actually, and expressing that to me, which to me is fine. It used to actually be intimidating for me for anyone to be angry around me at all. And a lot of this inner child work that I've done has actually helped me be comfortable with people's rage. You know, if they're not directing it at me, I can be comfortable with people feeling their rage, which truly took me years to even be comfortable with that because I was raised by this rageaholic person that made me feel so unsafe. So this person was expressing their rage around something that had nothing to do with me. But then in the course of the conversation, their rage was so great that they started in on me, which once again, is not a jailable offense. It just happens all the time. We displace our rage all the time in life. But the reason I'm telling you about this is in the past, I would have taken it, but I would have shut down during it and just totally dissociated. I would have become in my mind either inferior or superior to this person who was taking their rage out on me. Like either I would in my inner dialogue be like, screw you, I'm so much better than you. Oh my God, I'm in such my high horse, my high place right now because you are so unhinged the way you're talking to me. So I'd either go there, of course, quietly, not sharing, or I would go to that really small place where like I'm the little kid in the back of the car and I feel terrible and I feel scared and I'm trying to bite my tongue and keep my tears from flowing. Those are the two places that I used to go unconsciously and without permission, like I spoke about at the beginning of the episode when someone was speaking to me that way. But something different happened because of this, all this inner child work I've done and all this listening to her and all this acknowledging her and the work that I've done is this started happening. And yes, I felt a nervous system response, which although I didn't get that inferior or superior voice, I felt my heartbeat was up, my mouth was dry, my breathing, my circulation, all my fight or flight went on because I can't help what my body does. Maybe eventually that will change too. But I acknowledged it. It did not upset me. I just acknowledged that, like, wow, I'm having like a crazy nervous system response to this. Okay, so be it. I was able to speak calmly back to this situation and say, I hear what you're saying. I would like to acknowledge this isn't about me, but you know, obviously you're not able to come there with me right now. I want you to know that I'm hearing what you're saying. And I'm also wanting you to know that I am acknowledging this is not about me. So I was able to say that. But much more importantly, one of the things my dad used to do to me, which made me so, I was going to say made me so enraged, but actually I don't think I felt the rage. I just shoved it right down and I think it created a lot of my TMS, is my father would unleash on me in a way that was so unfair. I mean, really, even with the perspective, you know, of being a grown woman, unfair. You know, because kids say, oh, it's not fair, but like really it wasn't unfair. It wasn't fair. I can look back on it, abuse me mentally and verbally and emotionally for things that were bothering him. And then when he came to his senses, you know, an hour, 2 hours later, he would come and he would apologize to me. And honestly, I just remember this so well. It was one of my greatest feelings of despair that I had to accept his apology because it felt like such bullshit. And because I was scared of opening the wound again and saying anything that would lead to more rage, I would just say, you know, it's okay. It really wasn't okay with me. Even from a young age, I knew it wasn't okay. And that required a lot of repression, you know. So, I mean, you know my story. By 19, I was disabled. And it was all TMS, all TMS. Although I have a structural abnormality in my spine, it was never the reason for my pain, as I have not had pain since, you know, my TMS breakthrough. So in this particular situation last week, this person did, you know, maybe let's say 20 minutes later when things had calmed down, apologized to me. And I think they meant it. And I was able to say in the first time in my life, guys, I'm 50. So, I mean, please never shame yourself for the pace of your healing. I was able to say calmly, I hear you. I do really appreciate it. And it's not okay. It's not okay with me, actually. It's not okay to be spoken to that way. It's not okay with me to be yelled at. It's not okay with me for you to be upset with me because you're really upset with somebody else or something that, you know, was for you. And I'm just not okay with it. I'm not ever going to be. And it was so kind. The whole interaction was pretty kind. Neither of us was angry. I was able to say it. They were able to receive it. And it changed me. I say this with such emotion, guys. I feel my father, I can see him step out of the cage. First time in my life, I can see my father step out of the cage and walk toward me. And I'm not saying he's walking toward me and lifting me into his arms, even though we did actually have quite a loving and connected relationship, despite, you know, that's the problem. It's the conflict that kills with people. I hated him, but I also loved him desperately. But I can see him come over, and he's bigger than me, he's taller than me, standing there, and I'm standing there. We can just be with each other because we both got to speak. We both got to say what we needed to say, and that is living in the village. It's like I've walked through the woods. I've done the inner child work. I've gone back to her time and time and time again. I've sat with her. I've journal spoken her back to me. I know where we stand. And I really think I'm done with that fantasy. You know, it's taken me, what, let's say 45 years, because let's say I was five by the time I could come up with it, to let it go. But in that moment of finally, after doing all the work, being able to in real time stand up for myself, and I don't know how this is going to land for you guys, if it's going to feel as impactful as it feels for me, but I'm just telling you, each of us has our own unique experience. And for me, it was very impactful. And to feel like this relationship, which, you know, we all have very close family relationships that we cherish, is the better for it. And I am the better for it. It's really, really amazing. It's really amazing. And this is how we change. This is how we transform. I will not be the same in the world again. And you know, that's not such a crazy statement. I think everything changes us somewhat. I think we're never the same as we were yesterday. So I'm not trying to make it into some cataclysmic thing. It's not. But I'm telling you that it matters. Everything matters, guys. It does. It matters how we talk to ourselves. It matters how we hear ourselves. It matters how we honor ourselves. It matters that we make an effort to grow. It matters that we get out of our comfort zones. Everything matters. And if I'm here to teach you anything, I'm here to teach you that. So come learn with me if you want to do more of this. And if you really can't, remember there's the recording, or I have other inner child resources on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Just whatever you do, don't discard it like I used to discard it, because I'm so grateful that I woke up to it in this lifetime. It is the most transformative tool I use, I teach, and I have seen for changing your ability to have control over the triggers in your life today. It is so powerful. I can't say enough. All right. I think that's like, I need to relax. I've said it enough. Okay, guys, listen. I love you. I see you. I know how hard it is. I know how hard you're trying. And I really get it. And I'm trying too. And that's the best we can do. So if you're looking to be with me live on November 5th, just check out my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, either the resources or the retreats tab, and on my Instagram bio at Nicole Sachs LCSW. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please do go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps other people find the podcast. And for that, I am very grateful. All right, more soon. Lots of love, guys. See you next week. This has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. Bye-bye.